if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 175. This is our 2021 Open Championship Tips and Selections pod. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanran join me, Steve Bam, to discuss the final major of 2021. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys.
Yeah, a rare afternoon recording. Good afternoon.
My voice has actually woken up. We normally record these at the crackers of dawn, so
normally a bit husky.
A bit husky. That wasn't from chewing the football last night, I can assure you. Yeah. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, I know that you guys do. Please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, masses of tournament stats, and our Open Championship predictor model, all available free of charge, no paywall. Please subscribe to this podcast and drive the popularity of the show. We are available on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Come along, answer the questions before you are putting forward your membership, and we will let you into the closed group. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. I've actually recorded the Open Championship preview this afternoon, highlighting Paul's four selections. Now, you guys power the podcast, and I have to say thank you very much. You've inundated us with 5-star reviews for this week. I can only choose 2, but keep them coming. Leave your name and where you are in the review, and of course I will read them out in future podcasts. So I've got a couple here to go through. There were lots more, so thank you to everybody. All actually from the United States of America this week. So that's very good. The first one, expert handicappers, 5 stars. Been with these guys for over three years now. Made me a ton of money at the 2019 US Open with Woodland and Chez. Really know how to evaluate golf courses and pick out guys who fit the bill. Highly encourage all golf betting fans to listen weekly. That is from Shorty Vegas Picks, and he is in the US of A. And then a second one, entitled for some reason Clyde, as in Clyde Bank in Scotland. 5 stars. Where have you been my whole life? ? Excellent podcast. It's a shame I didn't find it 173 episodes ago. Nice work, gang! ! And that is from Big Fan 8675309. And again, he is in the US of A. Thank you for both of those.
Fantastic, yes. Thank you very much for those reviews. Much appreciated.
Cheers, guys.
I'm not going to talk about last week because it's too depressing. I went to bed last night when it became obvious that we were going to go to penalties. So that was probably about minute 15, really. My wife looked at me as if I'd gone crazy. I said, well, I'm not going to sit here and watch England lose to penalties. I might as well go to bed and get an extra half an hour's kip. So that's what I did. And then she came to bed with her phone, and of course she was watching the penalties, although I was pretending to be asleep. And then I heard her put the phone down on the cabinet next, and she just rolled over and went, and at that point I knew England had lost, clearly. And then this morning I thought, I'll double up the depression, check the PGA Tour leaderboard just to make sure that none of mine came in the each-way places or won, and lo and behold, of course they hadn't. So it was all good early this morning, I thought. All very good. I had two, Johnny Vegas and Patton Kizzire, both finished a shot away from each way places. And you snuck Seamus Power in the top 8, didn't you? Or tied for 8th as per usual.
Another chopped place, yeah. And you could see it coming from like an hour and a half away before the end. You just knew he needed one shot better. But another amazing week from him, and He has been rewarded by being inserted as the favourite this week in the Barbasol. Yeah. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm hanging on in there. I'm backing him again. I'm not, the FOMO is at maximum levels now. I have to back him. I might actually, just for fun as well, just to try and enhance it, double him up with a couple of guys in the Open Championship, just to try juice the price a bit. So,
You're in at 20-1 on Seamus Power this week. It is
if I can get him at 20-1 when the markets kind of are fully up and running. Yeah, we'll
as you would expect, it's not the strongest of fields.
No, I've saved a couple of my Paddy Power power ups, so hopefully I can. If they release them at 16, I might get 18s or 20s. So look, I'm here. I'm here for the Seamus win. We're not leaving him now just because we're getting price proud. So.
Overnight, they've let Mark Hensby into the field, so it's high-quality stuff, the Barbasol, as you would expect. You had Richie Ramsey kind of close thereabouts, didn't you?
It was sitting in tied eighth going into the final day at 175-1 with eight places each way. So an average to good day would have done the job, but he threw it away around the turn, couple of bogeys on the trot, and that was the end of that. When everyone else is shooting four or five under, you can't afford to be even par through 12 or 13 holes. It was odd, really, because he, if you look at his stats, he putted really well. His strokes gained putting was second, I think, in the field, but his approach play was just a bit too far off. That's not really his game. So he's one to keep an eye on, because if he does sharpen up that approach play, then combine that with the way that he is putting at the moment, and that could be a potential winner or a decent priced place over the next few weeks. But sadly, it was not to be, and he finished just outside the places again. Frustratingly.
Frustration rules the nation. Anyway, it's the Open Championship this week.
It is.
We've got some crazy offers available. I've never seen 12 places each way at a major. I was just going through some past stuff that we've done, and it was like we were shouting from the rooftops when Paddy Power went eight places in 2016. It was earth-shattering stuff.
I remember when they went...
Betfred were off in six places.
Yeah, I remember when Paddy went seven places each way back in, 2009, I'm going to say, 2008,
yeah,
2009.
Turnberry, yeah.
And that was a revelation at the time, wasn't it? Seven places, it was like, wow. And nowadays, 12 places, a sixth of the odds. What do you guys think of that proposition?
I'm okay with it. Like, at least you get something back, and it's not completely... Like, we're not betting to try catch place payouts, okay? So, like, it only chops it a tiny bit. So I'll take the extra spots for 1/6. It's not super, but I mean, look, we've said this for years. Like, when you match it up against horse racing, the amount of places that you get paid each way in horse racing versus the size of the field in golf and the amount of places you get in golf, it's just like they're not even close. Mm-hmm. So now you're seeing 12 places. It start, you know, 10 starts to feel like, yeah, that's a good number. 12, yeah, it's fun for the majors.
Boyle Sports, they are 12 places each way, a sixth the odds at this week's 2021 Open. And what's the offer that people will be able to get hold of if they signed up by a golf betting system?
Yeah, It's chopped and changed due to the Euros. Right now on the site, it's bet 10, get 20. But keep an eye on it, because with the Open Championship, they may well push that back out. We'll have to see. But either way, 12 places, a sixth of the odds, does give you a fair chance of snaring something. Like, if you do the maths, 150-1 shot, a fifth of the odds if they come placed is, 30-1. With a sixth of the odds, it's 25. So you're gaining that those extra places and foregoing on that example there, five points. So I don't know. Value's in the eye of the beholder with these things as ever, isn't it? It's if the price is right and the terms seem right and you're comfortable with it, then dive in. But
What do you guys think about the sixth of the odds?
Yeah, I it was kind of inevitable, I think. You know, a quarter of the odds now is almost almost defunct on golf, isn't it? And particularly, you know,
it is at majors, yeah.
Mm. Well, even so,
365 on the standard stuff.
Yeah, even so, a lot of the firms that aren't really pushing the terms out on a weekly basis are going six and a fifth, which yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it was inevitable, really. They keep pushing these headline terms out, then a sixth of the odds was. It's going to be further down the line. Where does it end? I don't know. Eventually, do you go 15 and a seventh? I don't know. It's
yeah.
We have to watch
it. The one thing you can say though about Ball Sports and Paddy Power, the other company that have gone 12 places each way, 60 odds at the Open, is that they are number one and number two for additional each way places given across the whole 2021 golfing calendar. So it's not as if they're just doing this to, you know, it's just a bit of a spoof and then they'll cut it to the worst terms ongoing. At the end of the day, they're both one and two when it comes to additional spots this year. So, you know, it's in their DNA to just keep, and they'll probably go back to 10 places on Boyles or 8 places at 50 odds for the PGA Tour coming up. So I think they're two great companies to have an account with. You haven't got one. Paddy Power, you can access, if you haven't got an account via Golf Betting System, a £20 or €20 risk-free first bet. I also think Betfred as well, they've gone a genuine 10 places each way at 50 odds. And that's a decent proposition. I am seeing quite a few players for my long shots piece that I'm going to release tomorrow who are best priced with Betfred. So again, UK customers, new customers, bet £10, get £30 in free bets, plus 60 free spins with Betfred for new sportsbook accounts opened up by Golf Betting System this week. Key terms and conditions across those three bookmakers. But in summary, this is just, it's earth-breaking stuff. We've never seen the amount of additional each-way spots at a major championship since we began this in 2009. Okay. Now, again, as I do with all of our tips, major tips podcasts, I will point you towards our research podcast, which was the one that we did previously at the end of last week. That was podcast 174, absolutely packed full of trends, course information and the like. So if you want to listen to that, please go ahead and do that. There have been some significant changes, though. What are we for? 24. We're 72 hours plus on from when we recorded that. As we always say, Open Championship, any coastal golf, the weather is going to be absolutely critical this week. And it would appear, Paul, I mean, you've had your finger on the pulse for far too long now. it would seem that since we recorded on Friday, there is definitely looking like it's going to be a lot more wind in the forecast.
Yeah.
But conversely, it also looks like, as we're recording this podcast, it's absolutely hammering down in Kent in terms of rain. So kind of a yin and yang situation going on.
Yeah. It was a bit up in the air because when we recorded at the back end of last week, there was some uncertainty how it's going to pan out. But there's high pressure building over the UK, which is the essential element. So the weather is going to settle down. It is going to be nice and sunny. It's going to be warm. It's going to be kind of 72, maybe 74, 75 degrees Fahrenheit in the afternoon. So in the UK, that feels particularly warm. It's generally a nice sunny summer's day for England. What that does mean, though, given the location of the track this week on the east coast of Kent, the wind is coming in from that side of the country. So we've got 15, maybe 20 mile an hour northerly winds coming in to begin with from Thursday. And then during the course of the 4 days, that's going to kind of shift around to the northeast and then gradually getting close to easterly by the end. And if you look at where Sandwich is on a map, it will mean that the wind is literally blowing straight in off the sea. And increasingly so as the 4 days progress. So it is going to be wet today. It has been. There's been some quite significant rain over the last few days as well. It's going to be soft, I suggest, for the first day or so, and it's going to get progressively less soft as we work through the 4 days, because there's no more rain forecast from kind of Tuesday onwards. No. So What that means ultimately is we're going to see 4 days of continually changing conditions. I think you're going to have a northerly wind. It's going to be quite chilly, I think, to start with, on Thursday morning. It's going to be quite windy. It's coming in directly from the north, straight off the North Sea. It's going to feel reasonably chilly. And then as the temperature starts to rise, as the wind starts to dry out the course as well as the sunshine, then it's going to make it slightly more firm. I'm not sure we're ever going to get to the point where we'd call it firm, because there's been a lot of water deposited on the course over the last couple of months. But it will start to change. And with the way that the wind is coming around, as I say, from the north to the east over the course of the 4 days as well, that's going to present a different challenge to players over the course of the 4 days as well. So it should keep them on their toes, which is good. And we were kind of guessing as to where that might leave us with a winning score at the back end of last week. And Craig Norman got to, 13 under when he won. Back at the end of, I forget the year now, you'd have to remind me. But I don't think we're going to get that deep. I suspect we're going to get somewhere in the mid to maybe high under par single digits. So maybe 7, 8, 9, something like that feels about right to me. Scoring won't get out of control, but equally, I don't think it's going to be so difficult because the underfoot conditions are going to be relatively receptive, I would have said. So, it's a lot to consider, I think, and particularly with this change in forecast and with the way that the tee times can impact things as well. You may find some significant tee bias when we get to Thursday as well. I think you said just a second ago, the early starters on Thursday right now might be facing 20, 25, maybe even 30 mile an hour gusts.
Yeah. I know when we recorded this last week, it was calm. It was just going to be calm. You could just see them taking the golf course apart.
Mm.
But there seems to have been a complete step change here. I'm using Windfinder Sandwich Bay, and clearly it's a forecast and we're 3 days away. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing 16 degrees Celsius at 7 in the morning on Thursday for the early starters, and it's gusting 32 miles an hour. Now, I don't remember Port Rush being firm and fast either, but I remember that being an absolute there were plenty being blown off the course quite readily.
I think you're going to
need... This is a tough old course, isn't it? We're seeing potentially gusting 30 in the morning. It calms down. I say calms down. It's still 25 mile an hour gusts in the afternoon. Friday looks like it's anything up to 20, 23 miles an hour. And Saturday, again, looks anything up to 30 miles an hour. So I think that's going to be brutish.
Yeah, I think.
And as you and I, we've been on the course. We've said it's like it's just the most craziest piece of land, completely out there on the coast, no cover, no protection. I think it's going to be difficult. My assumption last week that based on the wind that we were seeing, it was going to be the easiest of the scoring of the majors. I'm retracting that. Definitely, this is going to be single digits. You can see that. What kind of single digits? I'm not sure. Sunday. I told you. Sunday looks calm, but
I told you to cool your jets on the weather, Steve. Oh, last week.
That's what we did.
I didn't. It's if you can hear the smile on my face, this should be entertaining. It will be devastating because your bets, someone will get ejected immediately.
What's your view, Thursday, Barry? Yeah. What's your view on the looking at this wind forecast?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on another site that I use, in a couple of other sites I use in Trust for Wind. It's not quite showing 25 miles an hour, but I mean, like I said, the wind coming off the sea onto a links course, no matter what speed it has, it just hits a little different. And this is going to be a test for them for sure, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, you'll see some really good golf played to manage and navigate those conditions. And I don't care how much rain has fallen on a links course over the year so far. When the sun comes out and the wind is blowing, they can dry out so fast. You could see a course that will be receptive in the morning and balls popping off the greens in the afternoon. I think we could be in for, if it holds like this, I think we could be in for a very entertaining Open Championship.
In terms of the way the course is set, remember Keogh Island, which was very, very wind affected indeed. How does this direction of wind pull, a northerly wind that might turn more northeasterly, does that create a lot of downhill into the wind and wind behind holes, or is that a crosswind across this course? And that's a difficult question to answer. I do apologise.
It is good because you also got the fact that the wind's going to be changing during the course of the 4 days as well, and the prevailing wind in the UK will come generally from the west to northwest. So if you've got a northeasterly to easterly that's blowing in, you're coming in from an entirely different angle to which the course would have been designed in the first place. But as I say, you've also got this scenario where it's shifting round by kind of 90 degrees or thereabouts over the course of 4 days as well. So I think each of the holes is going to play differently at different points during the course of the week. And that will add to the intrigue and the complexity of the task of the players as well. I think ultimately you're just going to need to have a lot of different shots in your locker. I think you're going to have to be comfortable playing with some breeze and into the breeze and holding shots up or playing low shots to stay under the breeze as well. And I think there are going to be some sob stories with players that get caught on the wrong side of a draw. And sitting here on Monday afternoon, none of us have got a clue as to how that's going to manifest itself. Equally, we haven't got a view of what the tee times are right now. So you're kind of in the dark with that. But that's links golf for you. That's the Open Championship for you. And best laid plans can go horribly wrong if you do get caught the wrong side. So, it's going to be exciting, though, isn't it?
I think the fascinating thing is you're going to need a little bit of everything in terms of shot making, because the course isn't a straight out and straight back in. Mm. The holes orient themselves in pretty much every single direction. Yeah. There's maybe only three that kind of go in the same general direction. There's one angle and then another two or three that on the other angle. So it's everything, and with the wind moving around, it's going to be it's going to test everybody and their patience a lot.
I've got a question.
I'm in.
Oh, sorry. Go on, Barry.
I'm in. I'm here for the fun. It's going to be great.
What would be your view on a winning score then? What do you think?
Why does that matter?
Well, I'm just thinking about the kind of golfer we're after. Because if the listeners are thinking, oh, it's going to be 16 under, I need someone that's going to make lots of birdies, that's not the kind of golfer, is it, by the sound of it, that we need.
No. That's not happening. But, for us to call a score between blah and blah, look, they're not going deep in the scoring this week, I don't think.
Right, single-digit winner then, right, okay.
Yeah, maybe mid-single, yeah, something around that, somewhere between. I don't think anybody gets to, 8, 9, maybe, yeah. Look, it's not about lots of birdies this week. You grab your birdies when you can, kind of like Brooks Koepka says in majors. You just plot your way around. You take your birdies when they come. You're not chasing birdies. They just happen when you play good golf, and you minimize mistakes. I think that's where we're really at this week for me.
Yeah. I got a question here. I had a DM from Nagel's Bagels. Clearly, Nagel's well-respected in the industry. He'll be doing his Thursday night or Wednesday night live show. Available. Basically, he talks DraftKings and pulls. He runs leagues and whatever. He sent us a question. Previous Opens at this course have featured lesser-known winners. Do you think the randomness of the winner is the product of A, the golf course, or B, was weather a huge factor that particular week? Well, we can say with Darren Clark, the winner, that randomness was definitely driven by both. I mean, this golf course to me is one of those typical links that features a lot of out of bounds and lots of penalties off the tee. And when you're throwing in that week, there was some of the days it was gusting 40 miles an hour. It was very, very, very difficult.
Yeah. And I think.
But is that random, though?
No, not particularly.
No, it just identifies a guy who knows how to play and move his ball around in the wind. Yeah. And Clark did it.
He was just lesser fancied, wasn't he, at the start? But when the conditions mm-hmm. started to play into, towards his skill set, then that was, it became more obvious that he was the kind of player who could triumph in those conditions. Difficult one to answer.
And if we're seeing difficult conditions again this week, it clearly opens the envelope about potential winners this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what a Padre Harrington, for example, who was very close to winning the PGA Championship a few months ago. It certainly is an interesting way of looking at things in terms of the difficulty of the golf course. Okay. Do you want to take it away then, Paul? Move us forward from this point.
Yeah. Let's go. I'll go through the market first quickly, just to give us a view of where we are. And then, as you said, we've already covered off the course and the trends largely. So I won't go into a great deal of detail on that. I guess the one thing to say is the players or the entry list is changing. It's really quite fluid. I think there's 16 players who've dropped out so far. From the initial entry list. Added today to that list, Zach Johnson, Louis De Jager, Ryan Moore, who finished second at the John Deere Classic. He isn't playing either. He's got back issue, apparently. And you've got the likes of Hideki and Baba and Kevin Na, who we mentioned on the last pod as well, who aren't playing. So yeah, the entry list really is quite fluid, and the alternates are being added in, and we have to see how that ends up. Anyway, the market right now: John Rahm 8-1 favourite, Rory McIlroy 18-1, Brooks Koepka 18-1, Justin Thomas 20-1 out there. Again, he played some really good stuff, didn't he, last week from tee to green. It's just still not all quite fitting together for JT, but he'll have his backers at 20-1, I'm sure. Jordan Spieth 20-1, Dustin Johnson 22. He's being reinstated back as the world number one, seeing as John Rahm didn't quite finish in a lofty enough position to retain his world number one position last week in Scotland. Xander's 22s, and then you're into the likes of Hovland, Hatton, Louis Oosthuizen, Bryson, all around 33-1 mark. Colin Morikawa, similar price as well. 40-1, bar those players. The briefest of synopsis is on the course. 7,206-yard par 70. Proper links, as we've described. Bent fescue greens. And as I say, as is ever the case with these coastal links tracks, it all comes down to the conditions, really. Raining today. Wind, as we've described, over the course of the 4 days, coming in from the north and the east, and mid-70s Fahrenheit and sunny during the course of the 4 days as well. I'll just run through the previous winners quickly and their prices, going back to 2010, and then we'll get into who I've selected, because it does give us an idea as to the kind of players you may well start to want to target as to kind of price points or positions in the market. So 2010 was Louis Oosthuizen, 250-1. Darren Clark here in 2011 at 200-1 or thereabouts. 2012 was Ernie Els at 45. 2013, Phil Mickelson at 20-1, having won the Scottish Open the week before. 2014 was Rory at 18-1. 2015 at St Andrews was Zach Johnson, 110s. 2016, Henrik Stenson at 33s. 2017, Spieth at 16s. Francesco Molinari the year after at 33-1. And defending champion from 2 years ago, Shane Lowry, was available early doors at 70-1 before winning at Royal Port Rush. So you've got three of those players who were sub 20-1 or 20-1 or shorter. A couple at 33s. A couple of those juicy mid-prices, 45, 70-1 thereabouts. And then some outsiders there, Louis Oosthuizen, Darren Clark, over 200-1. And Zach, even though he'd been showing some decent form, 110-1 as well. Some good trends to dig into. I won't go through them all again because many of you have already listened to these. Top of the market, I've taken one from the very top. If you guys, before I go into who I've picked, if you guys were given, held over a barrel, gun to your head.
Fade of the week?
No.
I thought you were going to talk fade of the week.
Who would you take out?
Rory McIlroy is my fade of the week.
Still don't fancy Rory. No?
Who's your fade of the week? Of the top guys.
I can't say Rory because he's Irish. Ooh, this is tough. Yeah, now that I can't say Rory, I don't know. DJ, too many, like maybe the oh God, can I just give you three or four and that way I've covered all the bases? Of the short priced, I'd fade Xander. Just like the guy, just he's not winning. Like, yeah. Are you going to take Xander at 18s or Brooks at 18s, which are pretty much get?
Yeah, I agree. I think Rory, Xander, I think DJ potentially. I don't fancy JT in this either, in the conditions we're going to get. If you're going to ask me who I'd be backing, I'd be backing Brooks Koepka. So
yeah,
I concur with you completely.
Brooks or Spieth?
Yeah, he's been backed in as well. Yeah, I look quite deeply at all of the players at the very top, and whilst you could make a case for any of them, of course, and John Rahm's been playing some fantastic stuff. Oddly, I suppose that's a goal for you, isn't it? He was odds on Friday morning last week, and he got to four shots clear. Really, quite early on Friday in Scotland, and he was backable at an odds-on price with a lot of the field hadn't even started the second round by that point. So, to be odds-on at that kind of level of a tournament it showed you how well and how much better he seems to be playing than the rest of the field. But it didn't quite work, did it? He made a few mistakes here and there, and in the end, finished in the tie for seventh. So, a few people have got their fingers burned if they were diving in at that kind of price at that kind of point. But this is more competitive, and he's 8-1 with the next best 18-1 out there. I couldn't quite be having that. Brooks Koepka for me is the only one I can really make a case for at the very top. And we know with Brooks, he just focuses massively on these majors, doesn't he? He believes half of the field or most of the field are beaten before they even turn up here. And even with a dodgy knee earlier in the season, second to Phil at the USPGA, fourth to John Rahm at the US Open a few weeks back as well. And we're now another month further down the line in terms of his rehabilitation of that knee. And I think he'll be, fitness-wise, absolutely spot on this week and ready and raring to go, because I think he's been teetering on the edge of a major win, even though he's been kind of hobbling about. You see some of these stats that have flashed up about Brooks over the last few years at majors. 84 under in majors since 2016, and that's over 60 strokes better than his next best player in the field. It's a mad stat. Four majors in that time. Next best in the field is two from Dustin Johnson, and everyone else, or anyone else, has got one at best. He's just a major machine, isn't he, Brooks Koepka? Three top tens in the last four Open Championships. Last time, he was fourth behind Shane Lowry. That's his best effort in the Open. It's going to be relatively soft to start with, so his length's going to hurt. Wind's not a problem for Brooks. He can play. He's been striking the ball fantastically as well. And even in a regular PGA Tour event, I mean, he won in Phoenix, which he's not really his want nowadays. These regular PGA Tour events really don't float his boat. But he managed to win in Phoenix. He closed the Travelers with a 65. And was his first for strokes gained tee to green that week as well. He seems absolutely primed for this for me.
What was that, fifth place in the Travelers? Yeah. I mean, that's effectively a win for Brooks in a regular event to be that highly placed.
Yeah,
six under closing, 65 on the Sunday.
Yeah.
The other thing people forget about Brooks Koepka is, don't forget, he is a European Tour product.
Mm.
He had two good and Challenge Tour, European Tour. Two, three seasons over here? You look at his record, tons of experience, Ireland, Scotland, England, all different kinds of golf courses, links golf, everything thrown in. Isn't he a couple of top fives at the Dunhill Links up at St Andrews? Yeah. If you look at the experience he's got compared to a lot of the other American raiders, it's vastly more just because of that European Tour background. Yeah. Yeah. You can throw anything at him. Just used to it.
I think
he'd be licking his chops now that the wind is forecast for this week, because he knows that's going to knock more people out of the way.
It'll knock Bryson into a missed cut. Bryson DeChambeau missing the cut, and Brooks will be winning, taking the claret jug out. He'd love it, wouldn't he?
Do you think the Ornay will put them together? That'd be quite funny.
Do you know Bryson missing the cut and Brooks taking back the claret jug. Do you think he would enjoy that?
Yeah. Well, I like. I mean, for me, I haven't backed anybody short yet because I am waiting to see if there's a little bit of a draw bias. Mm. But the two I am eyeing up at that in that probably going to back them win only because of the price. I might do an each way, but it would be it's Brooks and Spieth for me. So I'll be waiting until Wednesday evening, and I'm pulling the trigger on one or maybe even both of them if they're on the sweet side of the draw.
Yeah. I guess if you're backing them win only, then you could have a little dabble on both, couldn't you? As you say, if they seemingly sit the right side of any draw bias, then all the better. For me, I couldn't. There was no justification for anyone else that I could really put together. So, Brooks at the top. A couple of the winning prices I read through a second ago were 33-1, and I have backed a 33-1 shot. I was tempted. It was a bit of a toss up between Tyrrell Hatton, who I backed last week, and he kind of flattered to deceive for three rounds, didn't he? Then when it's all lost and there's nothing really to play for, he went out and shot a 6-under final round and made his finishing position look better than it would otherwise have been, which has taken the gloss off his price this week. But I couldn't have Tyrrell. I've gone for Louis Oosthuizen instead at 33-1, who's finished second in his last two majors. And it was only John Rahm rattling in those final two putts at the US Open that denied him getting his second major championship having won this Open Championship back in 2010 at the at St Andrews. So that's two top 10 or two seconds and two majors on the trot. He was third at the US Open last year as well. So that's three top threes in his last five majors for Louis. It's very impressive at the top level of elite golf.
He's like Brooks Koepka light, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
If you've got a player that just peaks for majors, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's not interested in the slightest about any other kind of events. No, he's just majors.
There's a couple, you know, he's gone out and he's played a couple of other events in between times and he's finished kind of 8th or 18th in that kind of bracket and then gone out and put in a really significant shift at the major a couple of weeks later. So there's no win for Louis since you have to go back to the South African Open back in 2018. That's the only negative I could really draw against him. But in terms of the trends, he's got 12 Open Championship appearances, which is absolutely bang on the money. Previous winner, as we said. It was also part of a three-way playoff back in 2015, the one that Zach Johnson won. He's pulled out the Olympics now, so his focus can be purely on this week and maximising his positions in the FedEx Cup as he progresses through that at the back end of the PGA Tour season. He did have a little warm-up in Germany, 42nd. Nothing to be concerned about, I don't think, really. He shot 67 in the second round. There's only a couple of people who beat that. And just kind of meandered through the rest of it. Went back home, went back to his new farm, his ranch, for a couple of weeks of rest and recuperation. He should be fully rested now, shouldn't he? He's been playing well as well. I mean, Louis's not renowned for his putting ability. It's the long game, which is generally his forte. But 11th for strokes gained putting at the Memorial and 4th for strokes gained putting at the US Open as well. So I'm quite impressed with those stats.
Barry and I shared the same regret at the US Open, going for Finau as our each-way place kind of blocker, rather than Louis. So, yeah, I can see you shout there. I mean, whatever weather you throw at Louis, he'll just deal with it. That's clearly obvious. That's the kind of player you want, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got a couple more that I've backed around 66. Has you two guys got anyone else up to that price that you're interested in?
No, I don't think so, actually. Everything I've backed so far is way
ahead. Yeah, some big old prices this week.
Let me look. Okay, look, I couldn't resist. I had to do it. Ricky, I've been saying he's going well the last few weeks. This is a grinding test and, you know, he hasn't been scoring phenomenally well, so this is the kind of course that kind of and the conditions that will suit his style of golf. Now, whether it's a leap too far for, you know, a win to come, blah blah blah. But anyway, he was 66-1, so back to Ricky.
You do love a bit of Ricky Fowler, Barry, don't you?
I can't resist it. It's like Steve and Paul Casey, you know.
A love hate relationship.
I won't be back in Poland.
Statistically, he ticks an awful lot of boxes, Paul Casey, but yeah, I've had to leave him.
He always does. Yeah, he should have won 33 majors when you look at his stats every week.
Yeah,
he should have more majors than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, he is an easy one to fall into if you look at the stats on their own. And the other two I've backed then, Brandon Grace I've backed at 66-1. Another South African, there's a decent crop of South Africans, isn't there, at the moment? So Gary Higo, Christian Bezuidenhout, Daniel Van Ton, Nadine Bermester, both winners, or four of them have recent winners. Or recent-ish winners, anyway. Eric Van Rooyen as well. Charles Schwartz was showing some signs of life. He's right up there, close to favouritism over in the alternate event this week as well, isn't he?
It's a head-to-head between Seamus Power and Charles Schwartzel for favouritism in the Barbasol.
But he has been showing some... all of those guys I just read through are inside the world top 100 now, so there's a decent crop. But Brandon Grace I've plumped for. Low-key effort last week in Scotland, which was, again, I've got no real issue with that whatsoever. He's just gone out and he's worked his way through the bag. He closed with a bogey 68 for a little bit of confidence, a little bit of momentum. Prior to that, fourth at Memorial, seventh at the US Open. He won the Puerto Rico Open earlier this year by the coast. He's got decent finishes in all the four majors. His best at the Open is sixth. Also holds the record for the lowest Open Championship round, 62 at Birkdale back in 2017, wasn't it? And this is just his terrain, isn't it? Two wins at Fancourt, where he represents the course back at home, Fancourt Links, that is. Two wins at the Dunhill Links, two wins in Doha for the Qatar Masters, which we mentioned a little bit earlier. And again, that's very Lynx-like and shares a lot of characteristics with the Lynx tracks. That track that used to be used for the Qatar Masters over in Doha. Low ball flight with Brandon Grace, ideal in the wind. And he's been showing some cracking form. Fourth for strokes gained approach, first for strokes gained tee to green at Torrey Pines on his way to seventh place. Some really good stats coming out of Brandon. So Grace is in. The last one I've backed is Mark Leishman. And it's not just the South Africans who have got some momentum at the moment. The Aussies are going really, really well, aren't they? Cam Davis won the Rocket Mortgage a couple of weeks back. Lucas Herbert won the Irish Open the same week. Minwoo Lee last week, who won in Scotland on a Lynxy-style track. I backed him. What did I back him? Back at Denmark, I think it was. The Made in Himmerland, which was for a similar kind of logic, but as is always the case, I left him alone last week and he went and won at some ludicrous three-figure price. But these Aussies tend to seem to spur each other on, don't they? You get a rash of Australian winners when they start to really motor. So Leishman's in. He was part of that three-way playoff back in 2015 that I mentioned a few seconds ago, alongside Zach and Louis, fifth also in the Open 2014, sixth in 2017 as well. Those come in slightly more scorable years, so a little bit softer conditions here. I'm not expecting a level par winning score. I think that kind of suits Leishman just about right. Fifth at Augusta for earlier this year as well. That was his first major top 10 for 3 years. Won the Zurich Classic, so he gets a tick in the box, or a tentative tick in the box for a season winner. That was alongside Cam Smith. A third in the Travellers in his last start. Fifth for total drive, and third for strokes gained off the tee. Some really good long game stats for a guy that I wouldn't ordinarily kind of equate with those kind of numbers. If you could look back, that third for strokes gained off the tee, that was his best effort in that stat. And since he finished in a lofty position, forget exactly where, at the Sony Open back in 2020, he won the next start. He won at Torrey Pines the next start a couple of weeks later, beating John Rahm that week after having found some real form of his strokes going off the tee stat. And that's exactly where he was at the Travellers a couple of weeks back when he finished third. So, He seems to tickle the boxes for me. And that's as deep as I've gone. I've only backed the four. I've only backed Leishman, just to recap. Leishman, Grace, Louis Oosthuizen, and Brooks Koepka up the top. Go and throw me some long shot names then, boys. There's plenty of value out there.
It's a juicy tournament, this.
Mm.
there's a lot of players at deeper odds that you could build some very strong cases for. If we're looking for red hot form, there's not many better than Harris English. I think he's got a decent chance. He's had a top 15 at an Open. Ian J. Poulter, coming off a very, very, very strong outing up in Scotland. It was his greens in regulation that really took the eye with me for Poulter. Was it third for greens in reg?
Yeah.
Sixth for driving accuracy. So he was first overall for accuracy and 11th for ball striking.
Yeah, he's back up to bang on 50th in the world rankings as well. And that
50th in the world. The postman needs some big results just to make sure that he's given Harrington enough ammo for a captain's pick.
Like, zero excuse to not pick him. Yeah. After we did the show on Friday morning, I had to get it. I backed him at 100-1. I'm thrilled, to be honest.
You've done well, yeah.
Yeah, and we were saying that, like, Royal St. George's greens in regulation is a huge factor. It's one of the lowest greens in regulation field averages for the Open Championship venues. And so, you know, him then backing up all of that with the performance over the weekend and that round on Sunday, everything's lining up quite well. And Poulter strikes me as the kind of guy that'll use England's loss in the football as motivation to go win the Open Championship, to, like, personally make up for the loss that the country suffered.
Can I just ask you a question? Why is there a huge gap between Lee Westwood's odds and Ian Poulter's odds?
Popularity?
Based on current form.
Well, Westwood was right up there, wasn't he, for a long spell last week. And, there were points at which he'd overtaken John Rahm as favourite to win the tournament. And he was looking really good. And I don't know, there was just too many pretty fatal errors, and it drifted right away in the end, didn't he? But his price was being chopped all the way through that tournament, and it's not recovered. It's not gone by the other way, is it?
Steve, you make a good point, though. I mean, if you're looking at just the last, say, six events, Poulter has a third, a fourth, the 25th, 30th, 36th, and 40th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Westy has a best finish of 21st. Then 35th, 46th, 71st, and a missed cut.
Yeah.
He's only played six of the last, whatever, 10 weeks there in the recent tracker. So Poulter is arguably playing better results golf anyway. Westwood maybe is catching the headlines a bit more.
Don't forget with Poulter, we've got a second in 2008, a ninth in 2012, and a third in 2013 at the Open. He was 14th at the 2017 Open as well. Yeah. And on a golf course with tremendous, it looks like there's going to be a massive wind factor, weather factor. It's going to be cold. It's going to be, you're looking for a grinder, someone that's seen it, been there, got the T-shirt at an Open. Yeah. It's Ian Poulter. Yeah, Ian Poulter ticks a lot of boxes this week.
And might not be a bad DraftKings shout at 7,200.
Oh, God.
Absolutely. It's just before
Hans
we...
Hans Gievers asked us.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Hans popped us a tweet just before we started recording to see if there was any value with DraftKings or any pointers. And yeah, you two guys have backed up why I was kind of the angle I was going at. 7,200. And that price was set prior to his performance last week, and prior to his flying final round, but that seemed like a decent number to me. You mentioned Harris English just a minute ago, Steve. 7,300 as well.
That's madness.
Mm.
Yeah.
That guy is playing the best golf of his career at Harris English. And don't forget, we're talking about a guy that's finished fourth and third at consecutive US Opens 2020, 2021. Yeah. So it's not as if he can't mix it in majors anymore. 21st at the Masters.
It's mad, isn't it? And he won the week after finishing third at the US Open this
He's being priced up with people like Abraham Ansu, it's just not going to happen. So, yeah. This piece of real estate here with Leishman, Grace, English, Poulter, Fowler, there's a lot of very good players in here at a brilliant price point.
Yeah.
You could build a case for Lucas Herbert if you're talking about current form.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is playing golf from the stars at the moment, Lucas Herbert.
Yeah, yeah. 6,800 on DraftKings. Is another one that I've got noted down here. First and fourth.
He's swinging with some freedom. It's amazing to watch.
Yep.
I think he's had a few grinding performances. Was it with that Irish Open, the one that was really high scoring one year? I'm sure Herbert was in the mix of that one.
It seems again, we mentioned the fact that, you know, the odds are absolutely flying at the moment. He's part of that reason. But while the momentum's kind of been shared around and confidence is growing, I wouldn't be surprised to see him make the cut quite comfortably and play himself into what would be a good scoring position from a fantasy golf perspective for 6,800. That seems like a decent filler to me, I must say. Any others that catch your eye a bit further down? Sam Burns is one that I quite like the look of. Again, 6,300 for Sam Burns. Won the Valspar, second at Byron Nelson. Was the 18th last week. So opened with a 72 and then shot 68, 67, 66 in Scotland. So got his head around the challenge that was there at Renaissance last week.
He's jumped a few levels, hasn't he, Burns, this year? But whether he can cope with 25 mile an hour on the Kent coast at 16 degrees Celsius, I'm not sure. I'd say there is a player around that price point I do like. I think we all like him.
Go on.
Stuart Sink.
Mm.
Yeah.
I
mean, you can throw whatever you want at Stuart. He's got no issues. It was funny with Stuart as well. You actually look at his record. You know when he was really struggling with his game? You know, struggling to make top 24, top 125s in FedEx Cups and, you know, using past career earnings, status to get into events. You look at the one tournament he always did well at. It was always the Open.
Mm.
20th, 24th in 2018. The one that they played 2019 that Larry's defending, he was 20th. And you look at how he was playing golf back then. It was garbage. So now he's actually playing great golf. He's in the world's top 50 again. He's a winner this year. There's a lot to like at 125-1 with a forecast that looks a bit funky.
Yeah.
Mm.
Was he second or third for tee to green at the Travellers last time out?
Well, yeah, and that's that trends piece, the previous podcast where we kind of cut the field down based on what the identifiable trends from the last few years. He was the longest price and one of the final 11 in the field that made its way through to that.
Seventh for off the tee. Sixth for approach, second for tee to green. Couldn't. He was like me on the putting green, so yeah.
Well, that's not Stuart Sink, is it? Stuart Sink's a fantastic putter.
With a funky forecast and potential, you know, really wind affected conditions, I think Stuart Sink around that means 140-1 with Bet365. They've just lengthened his price. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What about Richard Bland?
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have a bit of a new lease of life, doesn't he, Richard Bland, after winning at the Belfry? It's his last five starts. First, third, 50th, fourth, 15th, sixth and eighth for greens in regulation over his last two starts.
Wow.
6,800 on DraftKings. 200-1, thereabouts, by the order bookies.
First round leader, monster. Imagine he took off hot again, like... I might be one to note down.
Was he the 36-hole leader? No, I think he was T2, wasn't he? 36 holes at the US Open, Blandy?
Yeah.
Because Henley was leading, I believe.
He was right up there, wasn't he?
He was a leader, wasn't he? He was a leader. He was a joint leader, wasn't he? Yeah,
joint
I thought
leader.
He was.
Wow.
Shows how quickly we forget these things. Only a few weeks ago.
That's what they say.
I mean, like, speaking of people of that vintage, I backed Harrington the other day. He's still widely available over 100-1. I was fortunate to get there ahead of his decent performance at the Scottish Open. I got him up to 175-1, which is nice. You can still get him at that price, less places with a few of the more unusual bookmakers, let's say. But wherever you've seen like 159 places, 125, 10 places. So I mean, Harrington, like, he's playing really good golf.
Oh, mate. Can you amuse me and just tell me what he is in DraftKings, Paddy Harrington? He's going to be a crazy, silly
6,900.
Wow. Lovely.
There's plenty you could pick to fill a team from that kind of sub 7,000 bracket. Really, super cheap. Johannes Veerman, 6,100. Finished third and eighth over his last two starts. It's his debut, but even so, he could surprise, make the cut. At what would be a mad price for just one of the guys near the very very bottom of the pricing ladder on DraftKings.
The funny thing about Harrington is his open record since he went back to back is really not great. He's only made the cut a few times, so it's boom or bust. But with gnarly conditions, and the performance at Kiawah Island,
he didn't go away, did he?
You could definitely make a case for him this week at those long odds. It's a fun bet anyway if it doesn't go well. So because for an Irish person anyway, just backing him. So
yeah, why not? A couple of euro on there, Barry, just out of curiosity.
Well, the other thing is, from a DraftKings perspective, he's going to be ranking probably some of the lowest ranks in any kind of models, statistical models. Miscut before his 18th. His form is miscut, fourth at the PGA with loads of wind. Miscut, 18. So he's not popping models, is he? But I tell you what, there'll be worse DraftKings plays than Paddy Harrington. If this comes to fruition and it's a really gnarly, wind-strewn golf course. I like that. I'm quite excited. I think there's going to be some juicy prices involved this week, big style.
There's some lovely ones, yeah. I backed Kisner. I have to back him.
Yeah. He's peaking, isn't he?
There's a lot of things coming together. Plays well in the wind. The course isn't too long for him. He grinds. I mean, like, what's not to like at over 100-1? I've backed him at, like, way shorter than that, so.
Fifth and eighth in his last two starts. A second in an Open Championship, and you're finding him at 150-1, generally available. That year he was second. He was a 300-1 shot.
Yeah,
and he didn't have the form that he's got at the moment. Wow.
No, he's proven that he can put it together on this, a Lynxy style track. It's there in the record books. So, yeah, worst bets out there again, Barry. I think again, you do like a bit of Kevin Kisner, so I can't expect it that way.
An absolute no-brainer for me. So, I mean, one other that kind of caught my eye and I put a little bet on him as well. I mean, 200-1 has two top 20s in the Open. We know he can play links golf and out in the desert as well if there's any sort of wind matching to be done. Eric Van Rooyen.
Yeah, he's got previous.
Like 200-1, 12 places. I mean, I don't care if it's 160 odds. Like, if he pings the each way, amazing.
Yeah.
He needs to do something because he's struggling for status on the PGA Tour, isn't he? He's right on the cusp. I think he's 126 or something. So he could do a nice top 10 in an Open just to guarantee his playing privileges for next season.
He'll be watching Seamus this week then, because Seamus overtook him into, 123? So...
Big week for Seamus, then he can get himself absolutely guaranteed into for next
season. There's a few around there, isn't there? There's a few at some big prices. I mean, you could make a case the way that he was striking the hell out of the ball last week. Lucas Glover, he was a 36 hole leader here back in 2011. He's at 275-1.
Yeah. Can he go bang bang? Actually, he's putting reasonably well, Lucas Glover, isn't he?
You've got Guido. There's loads. There's loads around this kind of area that you could get stuck into.
So we've got your long shots piece that's coming out tomorrow. Steve, and then
yep.
some first round leader picks as well. Once we've seen and digested the draw,
yeah, I expect you'll be having a view on that Wednesday, won't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
when,
yeah.
As close as we can get to see if there's any draw bias or whatever.
Yeah,
it is absolutely hammering down with rain here where I'm recording this.
Yeah, and you're not.
I'm not what from the you know as the. My lord, it is absolutely barreling down. So yeah, I would assume that Kent's getting it just as equally as bad as this. Interesting. Yeah, I might also just have a sneaky pick or two at the Barbasol as well, and it won't be Seamus Power.
Thank you.
That again is a great reason to get on Seamus. There's a couple I've got my eye on, so I might just ping a euro or two, a pound or two on the Barbasol. We'll see how we get on with that.
Yeah.
But yes, plenty of content in the Golf Betting System, all completely free of charge. Pools, I will put Pools betting preview in the description box for you if listening to this in a podcast form. I'll also put it on the YouTube channel as well for that as well. So absolutely, I think we're looking forward to the Open this year with bated breath.
Yep.
It should be an absolute classic.
Yes, yeah.
If you've got any questions, if you do want any more questions answered around the Open, potential DraftKings picks or whatever, don't hesitate to send us a tweet and we'll get back to you when we can. But I thank you for your time, guys. I hope your bets go well.
Yeah, best of luck, guys.
You guys too, and to the listeners, absolutely. Fill up those places with each ways and get the winner.
Absolutely. I think there's going to be some triple-digit prices in there for sure. That happens every year. But if you've got 12 places behind you or 11 places or even 10, yeah, you can really fill your boots this week. Thank you for your time. I hope your bets go well and we'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf